Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Vonnegut with you guys here on Overtime, getting ready to be joined shortly by Ross Jackson of the Locked On Saints podcast as well. A Saints beat writer over at LESports.net and Saints analyst for WWL TV. A lot of things to get into with Ross, including really where we stand right now. And I think where a driving point in this conversation is, right? And it was talked about a couple of days ago with Ken and Anthony, I think, started the conversation. Basically just laying it up as, well, in all honesty, can the Browns just move off of one of these quarterbacks and trying to look at a team and one of them that could take it? And the Saints are really the only option, right? We played this out. We talked about this, I think, either last week or to start off this week. It all blends together at this point. But and going through and actually taking a real look at what's available and who could actually go out and get somebody, whether or not that you're moving it to anyone, it would end up being the Saints. That is sort of the one team that I think you look at where it would make any sort of sense that somebody would go out and grab them, because they're sitting in a quarterback battle right now that's between three young quarterbacks who, I mean, none of them really jump off the paper to you. I mean, you're looking at guys like Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler. I mean, we've seen both of those guys play in very limited fashion. And then Tyler Shuck's a rookie, and I think that's sort of where the blockade probably comes in, right? Can Tyler Shuck go out there and be the guy that they actually need? And I think for a lot of the times, you draft a rookie quarterback in the second round, and it probably just lays out to the fact that at the end of the day, you just really roll along with the guy that you draft early on. I have the Browns taken a Shedeur Sanders in the second round. I think a lot of this conversation would probably revolve around the fact that you'd want Shedeur to start right away, and we'd be expecting Shedeur to start right out of the gate. Now, the situations play that out very differently, but if not, I mean, you have a veteran quarterback in front of Shedeur, you have him in front of those guys. I think it's a much different sort of scenario where Tyler Shuck's the lead guy in the rookie class, and without Derek Carr sort of roadblocking him and being that other one, well, it doesn't really put any sort of stop to it. Joe Flacco might put a stop to that and might delay the start in a way that even Kenny Pickett could probably be the delay and probably stop you from getting there. I just don't know how in a world where the Saints have what they have, they'd be wanting to go through and actually switch that up. Right? There's just no possible way. So it's going to be something that we're going to talk to Ross about, because ultimately, I need to hear it from a Saints perspective. And I think this is a good way, because we can all sit here in Cleveland and trying to truly get an answer to where we are and trying to get an answer to the way that we're figuring the entire thing out and trying to find a true solution where we're at. I don't know that it's really a guaranteed possibility of getting to that true answer. So for more on it, to figure out where we're actually at, let's go out. The North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We'll get it there eventually. We can talk to the man. You might hear him on Locked On Saints podcast. You can find his work over at LESports.net and plenty of other places. A man that covers the Saints from top to bottom. And he joins us now. It's Ross Jackson. Ross, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy. Doing great, man. Glad to be here with you again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to have you on. I don't know if you've seen any of the buzz around Brown Saints. We're going to get there. We're going to get to the only possibility they can get to. But we did talk earlier on in the offseason and had bounced around, you know, where are the Saints going to go? How does it impact the Browns, obviously, for our listeners? But you end up with somebody that Browns fans looked at pretty heavily and going and getting Tyler Shough. What was sort of the reaction around town? And since the draft, has that shifted at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that the draft of Tyler Shough is definitely, or the draft selection of Tyler Shough is definitely something that we saw coming here in New Orleans. He always sort of felt like Kellen Moore's guy in this draft. The question was, A, where are they going to be able to get him? And B, where were they going to take the swing for him? Because they were talk about potentially trying to trade up into the back half of the first round. If they would have done that, would that have been to go after Shough? Or would that have been a la the New York Jets to go after Jackson Dart? Them waiting and playing it patiently made it very much feel like that quarterback in the second round was going to be the direction that they were going to go. And with Dart as well as Ward off the board, Shough was the guy that made the most sense for New Orleans. In fact, my understanding is that at least from Kellen Moore's side of this, or not necessarily for the Kellen Moore side of it, but the quarterback side of it all, that the Saints actually might have had Tyler Shough above Jackson Dart going into sort of looking at their quarterback rankings and things like that. So it wasn't a shock when we saw the selection there. I think maybe the public was a little shocked because so much of the public was still kind of hoping or maybe kind of convinced that the Saints were going to go after Shador Sanders. We've known for quite some time that was not going to be the case here in New Orleans. And so Shough was the guy out of Louisville that made the most sense for New Orleans. And so when he was the name at 40, didn't come over as too much of a shock here.
And so and now as we go through, obviously, no Derek Carr, which it pretty much seems like he's pretty settled into being retired and not making a return to the NFL due to the injury. So you walk into a quarterback room that's Tyler Shough, Jake Haener, and Spencer Rattler. Is that sort of a gone assumption that it's just going to be a runaway Tyler Shough takes the job and is starting week one?
I think that many of us won't be surprised to see it that way. Look, you know, the Saints have never drafted a quarterback in the second round in their entire franchise history. Tyler Shough was the first. They haven't drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds of the draft, and he is the highest drafted quarterback in the NFL draft for the New Orleans Saints since 1971 when they drafted Arch Manning. They also spent the first round pick in a supplemental draft in the late 80s, but in terms of the actual NFL draft itself, wasn't since it's been more than 50 years. And so that alone, sort of that investment tells you that the Saints are likely to roll with Tyler Shough, even if it's just at some point later on in the season where they make that transition. But it is going to be an open competition. And I think that when you look at it, it's mostly going to be a competition between Tyler Shough and Spencer Rattler, although Jake Haener will be involved and will get his opportunities as well. But I do feel like this is going to be kind of tilted over to Tyler Shough. I think if Spencer Rattler wants this job, he's going to have to outright win this job in a convincing, sort of standout, undeniable way. Otherwise, tie goes to the runner, and that runner is going to be Tyler Shough.
So, Ross, as we look at this, and again, no Derek Carr, and Kellen Moore announcing that it's going to be a quarterback competition, they're going to let it play out that way. Do you think there's any interest from the Saints in actually adding another quarterback into this room, potentially a veteran?
I don't think so at this time. I think that once training camp gets started and they get, you know, about a week or so of actually getting a full-on look at these guys, that maybe they can reassess at that point. Let's say, you know, they get a week or so into training camp and they're just not seeing what they want to see in terms of growth, development, all these other things. Then, yeah, maybe you bring a veteran in via trade or via the open market, although the options in the open market aren't necessarily appealing at this point in the year. But you bring somebody in to kind of help to further their development a little bit. There's something to be said about having another veteran quarterback in the room that you can go to and ask questions. You don't necessarily want to go and ask a coach, right? It's like going to a coworker to ask a question instead of going to your boss because you're worried about looking like a dummy to your boss. You know what I mean? And so, like, there's something to be said about that. And so having that option is something that makes sense. But I think right now what the Saints want to do is try to get that veteran presence from their coaches. Kellen Moore, 36 years old, youngest head coach in the NFL, former NFL quarterback. Doug Nussmeier, former NFL quarterback. He's the offensive coordinator. And then quarterback coach Scott Tolzien, former NFL quarterback as well, also young. So I think that the hope is that their ability to coach will make up for the lack of experience in the room.
So that then brings us full circle to the Browns. They're obviously in a situation that I don't think many teams find themselves at this point where they have four quarterbacks. And legitimately, we could look at any of them and go, you're the week one starter. It's Joe Flacco, right. Kenny Pickett, and your two rookies. But that also comes with the problem of you're not going to put four guys on the actual roster at the same position playing quarterback. It's only one guy that's going to be out there. You get the emergency spot. Aside from that, none of these guys going to be happily sitting on the practice squad and not moving on. If the Saints were to look at a veteran, do you think that it's feasible to think that they would look over to the Browns and actually move anything and not wait for one of these guys to be cut, either in the form of Joe Flacco and as much of a veteran presence as you can get in the form of an active player, or Kenny Pickett, who obviously has ties from last year to Kellen Moore?
Yeah, in the scenario in which the Saints get to the end of the preseason and decide that they need a veteran quarterback in their building, I could absolutely see Kenny Pickett being a target. No disrespect to Joe Flacco, but the reason why I highlight Kenny Pickett is because of what you mentioned. He has the connection to Kellen Moore, and in fact, he played under Kellen Moore and won under Kellen Moore. And so there is something to that in terms of that connection with the head coach and the player, to where I could see a potential to, you know, try to move a late pick in 2026 or 2027, day three pick, to try to make sure that they get the quarterback that they want to come in, and that could, you know, be that sort of, in Kenny Pickett's case, young veteran, but veteran nonetheless with NFL experience, having worked in Kellen Moore's system before, which does change everywhere that he goes. But I imagine that a lot of what they did in Philly is what they're going to try to do here in New Orleans, with some, obviously, some changes and some sprinklings of Kellen Moore's Dallas Cowboys days and all that other stuff. But I see Kenny Pickett as probably being the guy that's most likely to be targeted out of that room if the Saints were to decide that they wanted to get a veteran after the preseason, but not wait for roster cuts. He's the guy that certainly makes the most sense.
Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I thought it was interesting. It was something that was brought up by our morning show and pushing around, and I sort of landed on the in-between. Our morning show was like, the Saints could definitely trade for him, and our afternoon show was like, absolutely not. And I was like, probably not, but maybe. So it's the answer that we're all looking for of, like, is it even on the table? And I think fans are at least happy that, yes, in some capacity it would be.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Like, it would require them to feel that they need that presence first and foremost, right? Like, that's the first question that's got to get answered, is that they have to go through, they have to get a look at these guys through training camp, through the preseason, see how they operate and all that. Then if they feel like they're fine with, you know, whoever the starter is, let's say Tyler Shuck in this instance, the backup in that case would probably be Spencer Rattler. And then you're looking at a third quarterback that might be on your practice squad, might be on your active roster. We'll see. That ends up being sort of the emergency third. That's certainly a way that this team could potentially go, and they might feel very good that way. But if they feel like, you know what, that emergency third would really like that to be a veteran player with some starts, with some experience. But the Saints wide receiver quarterback room right now, which has four quarterbacks, because they also added undrafted free agent quarterback Hunter Deckers after rookie minicamp. This quarterback room with four players has seven total NFL starts and no wins. That's not ideal for an NFL team. And so maybe, just maybe, as they get to the beginning of the season, they might want at least that emergency third quarterback or the guy with the clipboard on the side to have a little bit more NFL experience than what this room offers presently.
Ross, I promise you, you'll catch no flack from this across the Cleveland fan base, because nobody here is happy with the way that it looks. And I imagine, I don't know that it's similar feels over there, but if you're going through right now and you had to pick one, either the Saints quarterback room or the Browns quarterback room, and as a franchise, where you'd rather be, which one would you be happier with?
Yeah, I think you'd probably be happier with the Saints quarterback room. I think a lot of it is, you know, potential is really the biggest thing. And I think that when it comes to where the sort of lifespan of the New Orleans Saints are, having an aging quarterback that's not going to be a part of their future is not an ideal situation for them at this time. They're about to have the most money that they've ever had in the last however long, with the way that they were able to escape that Derek Carr contract upon his retirement, whatever went into all that. You know, they have a new head coach, they have a fresh direction, all these other things. I think that, like, if you were to lift up the Cleveland Browns quarterback room and then plug it in with New Orleans, and then you have a quarterback that's older or just as old as the head coach, it's probably not an ideal situation. And so I think you probably take the potential over even the proven nature of a Joe Flacco, who's won, you know, wherever, you know, he's won in Cleveland as well. I think you probably roll with the potential in this scenario just because of the lifespan of where the Saints are at the moment.
Again, Ross Jackson, the Locked On Saints podcast with us here on the hotline. I did want to get your opinion as just somebody from outside the city too, because I thought it was fascinating. And as a team who was searching for a quarterback, and I was right there with you, it didn't seem like the Saints were really all that interested in Shador. It felt like even if they were going to make the pick early on in the first round, it was going to be Jackson Dart rather than Shador, just in the way that they handled off seasons and workouts and everything else. But what did you make of Shador's fall into the fifth round, why it happened, and maybe for a reason why the Saints weren't interested in that spot?
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason why the Saints might not have been interested simply comes down to who they were most interested in. I think that's really all that it came down to for them. You hear whispers here and there about, you know, all this stuff about interviews and everything like that. But look, we see players all the time come in and have, you know, attitudes that are a certain way or that are talked about in a certain way, and they go flying off the board early because of their on-field play. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't buy into all of that kind of talk typically when it comes to the Shador Sanders situation. My good friend Tyler Rowland, we do the Locked On NFL show together as well, he had a really interesting theory that NFL coaches were just afraid that if they drafted Shador Sanders and failed with Shador Sanders, that Deion was going to come and take their jobs. And I just think that's such an interesting sort of vantage point in all this, because Shador has consistently won with Deion around, and Deion has already gotten into some of those head coaching conversations with the Dallas Cowboys and things like that. So some of it is like the organizational fright of, oh no, this other person might come and take my job. So like, I think that Shador ended up in a good situation in Cleveland. And what I mean by that is a situation where he's going to have patience. He's going to have an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to do what it is he was going to do, whether he was drafted, you know, number two overall or in the fifth round. He ended up in a place that it should be a nice enough fit for him. He's got a good veteran there in Joe Flacco, who has never been the center of any controversy or anything like that. Just kind of this even keel dude that has had a lot of young guys develop behind him. And I think that's a good, solid situation for Shador to be in. So, I think that for the Saints, the pass on him came down to what they liked, not what they didn't like. That's kind of the key of scouting. And then everything else that followed in terms of his fall, it's inexplicable in some cases. But if really what people were worried about was confidence, attitude, and swagger, then, you know, I think those are good qualities in a quarterback personally.
I'm right there with you, and I'm hoping to see Shador Sanders on the field this year, quite frankly.
Absolutely the same.
All right, Ross, we got to run, but I always appreciate you giving us a few minutes, hopping on and helping out and figure out what on earth is going on with the Browns and the NFL alike. So I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, buddy. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon, but appreciate you.
Absolutely. Ross Jackson of the Locked On Saints podcast there with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You can also check him on the Locked On NFL podcast. We'll react to what Ross had to say coming back here in about 5 minutes as well. Well, guys, maybe it is on the table. Maybe you could actually dump one of these guys off to the Saints. Made it sound bad. It's not that bad of a thing. And basically everything I think you needed to hear, right? And it's not like we're going to get to next week and all of a sudden Kenny Pickett's going to be on the Saints and they're going to say, well, absolutely, we need this guy. But I think as you get into the future, which is really the important thing for the Browns, if they can make the evaluation, hey, you know, not even saying Kenny Pickett's a bad quarterback, but Kenny Pickett, we don't think by what he's shown us is going to be the quarterback of the future. If that's the conclusion that you reach, well, guys, we all know that turning it over to the rookies at some point has to happen, and maybe earlier than not. And if you go into this thing, basically, rookies all the way, or heck, you want to start Joe Flacco for the first few games, start Joe Flacco for the first few games. But you're going to have to move on from one of these quarterbacks at some point. Right? And I think the big thing for Browns fans, really in going through and moving on, where we say, hey, Joe Flacco might be the odd man out. The main reason behind that is, well, he doesn't give you anything into the future, and he's the only guy that you didn't give up a draft capital for. Right? You didn't give away any other assets aside from money in order to acquire Joe Flacco.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So the main thing that you have to get back is actually being able to acquire something, right? Get something back, whether that's a fourth or even, heck, if you go through and you get another fifth round pick back for Kenny Pickett and you establish, oh, that's not going to be our guy. If you trade fifth for fifth, it's not that bad. It's a pretty decent place to be. And I think with a fairly safe assumption that we could all look at this and go, well, the Saints probably aren't going to be very good next year. They're not exactly fighting for a playoff spot unless Tyler Shug ends up being an absolute world beater of a quarterback. And even then, they don't have a ton around him either. You got an okay offensive line at best. Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, and about nothing else. And a middle of the tier, very generously, defense. Like, I think it's more than reasonable to think that, yes, you could absolutely see somebody going in, actually going in acquiring somebody like Kenny Pickett. So, okay, if they're going to be bad, you get a decent fifth-round pick back, and you basically make a one-for-one swap, your fifth-round pick this year for their fifth-round pick next year, with a pretty fair trade-off of, well, it's going to be another high fifth-round pick, and we didn't really lose anything aside from DTR. And, again, I reiterate, we didn't really lose anything. That's the main thing, though. Like, you have to get something back. And if it's Kellen Moore's connection to Kenny Pickett and having coached him in Philadelphia, then great. It's an incredible spot to be in. And I'm all for it. But if you're sitting there wondering, can you actually move somebody barring injury? Because obviously that makes everybody on the table. And in a lot of instances might make Joe Flacco more available than anything. But if Ross is going to say it's a possibility, it's far from certain, but a possibility, hey, that's really all you're looking for. Get me down to 3 quarterbacks to start the year. That's it. And yeah, you need a veteran presence in here. Whether you keep Kenny or you keep Joe, you're going to have a veteran presence. There's going to be a vet on this team that can help you out and can actually provide a little experience. And I think what Ross brought up was actually very interesting in bringing a veteran into the room and the way that he acts, even if he's not fighting to be the starter at that point. But he sort of acts as that buffer between your head coach and the player themselves, the young quarterback. Because there's times, I think we've all gone through moments in jobs where you look up at the higher-ups and you go, I got a question, but man, it might be a stupid question. And the last thing I need to do right now is look like an absolute moron in front of the boss. Again, all of us have been there. I've been there. I'm sure a lot of you have been there as well. It doesn't change when all of a sudden you get to the NFL and they pay you millions. You still got stupid questions, and stupid questions you don't want to have to ask to the higher-ups and be like, they're going to think I'm a moron. The older veteran quarterback sort of acts as that buffer because he is an equal. He's somebody that you look to and you say, well, you're a coworker with just more experience. You might think I'm a little bit of a moron for asking it, but you also understand. You were in that moment once. You've been there. And Kellen Moore's been there too, so I'm sure he gets it, and he's a younger coach. So there's probably a little more relatability to it, but it's still something between being your head coach and being another quarterback. Well, sure, Joe Flacco obviously fills that role great, but even Kenny Pickett, where it's like, dude, I was there 3 years ago. Don't sweat a question. Okay, and we were all dumb. And it's not like Kenny's had a, you know, elite success, but if it's thriving in the world of the NFL and trying to survive and getting those entry-level questions out, yeah, Kenny Pickett can answer those. I think it's very important for the side of the Browns to have a guy like that too, but you're going to have one. Whether it's Kenny or whether it's Joe, you already have one basically solidified in the room right now. You don't really need two of them. You absolutely don't need two guys serving that same role. So if the Saints want to go through and say, you know what, we'll take Kenny Pickett. That's a great backup if something goes wrong. It's not going to cost you a ton of money this year. Again, A, you get a fifth-round pick back for him. I think you basically cut your losses. You put a smile on your face, and you say thank you very much. No problems at all. Let's keep this thing moving and go on from beyond.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that's great. It's just, I think it was very good to hear the perspective of somebody like Ross who can get you that other thing. Because if it's me, you, Ken Anthony, and Nick and JP sitting here discussing, it's like, yeah, we all take the outside perspective. We take the outside view of, well, why would the Saints want somebody? And I think the only thing that helps confirm that is going through and hearing from somebody, you know, connected to the team of, yeah, maybe they would. So don't take that off your bingo card as something that can actually happen. It absolutely is on the table of something that we could see by the time the season starts. And the Saints, again, barring injury, probably about your only option out. 216-474-0092. Would you be all right with that? If Kenny Pickett is the guy going to the Saints, is that a good move for you? Just the Browns getting anything back as well? Guardians splitting a doubleheader today. And plenty of news flying around about the Guardians, both in the minor leagues and things to talk about happening in the games today and among the majors. Let's do it here coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. The Guardians have, it's no longer breaking news, but it's news that's very impactful. And I want to get to it yesterday, but the way the show planned out, we obviously just didn't get to touch on it. But it's... looking through the minor leagues and seeing that Travis Bazzana now, I think officially today landing on the 7-day IL, but the oblique strain that he suffered could have definitely cost him 8 to 10 weeks is what they're predicting it at in order before he's fully recovered. AKA, if we go the short timing of this, considering we're at May 21st, that means he'd get to July 21st at the quickest time he'd be available to be back. And then in a ramp-up period and actually back on the field. I mean, even if he's fully recovered from that and back, he's still sitting there playing in Akron. So if you take nothing else away, Travis Bazzana is not making the majors this year, right? Like, that is a fair just put your foot down. That's the conclusion we can come to. There's no way he's getting from Double A Akron up to the bigs and doing it by the time that he's back in late July, early August. There's just absolutely no time for it. Now, obviously, that's a bummer. Like, all of us, I think, are sitting here rooting and trying and want to see Travis Bezanin get onto the field because he's your number one overall draft pick. He's played relatively well in Akron and in Lake County last year. He hasn't obviously, you know, flown off the charts or anything, but he's been playing well. And you're hoping that he's going to be your long-term solution at second base. Now, there is a way, though, that I think you look at this as a Guardians fan and probably take a bit of a positive spin from it, right? Injuries are always terrible. You never wish them. And I'm not saying that there's a positive out of the injury, but a positive out of the fact that we can accept Travis Bezanin is not going to be in the majors. And no, it has nothing to do with Major League service time and you know, the Super 2 and everything else that we talk about as we get up into those moments where you're sitting there going, well, if he plays this many games and he's up for this amount of time, well, then this counts as your service time and you got to pay him earlier. No, it has nothing to do with that. I don't care about the financials of the Cleveland Guardians. That doesn't matter to me. I want him up and producing as early as possible where it sees fit. So as soon as he's ready to make the majors, I'd like him to be in the majors. Whether or not that means, you know, you got to pay him a season earlier or figure things out and it plays out into their favor as well, doesn't make a difference to me. Where I see the positive coming out of this is that the Guardians have a ton to roll through. They have a ton to figure out in that middle infield sort of dynamic. And it doesn't just end when you get to Travis Bezanin, because had Brian Rocchio come out and hit the lights out of the park and hit this, you know, the stitching out of the ball, this cover off the baseball. There we go. That's the term. If you could have hit the cover off the baseball all year long, it would be no question. Like, okay, yeah, we want Travis Bezanin up as early as possible because your shortstop's figured out, and the faster you get the middle infield figured out, the better. Obviously didn't have him. Brian Rocchio laid an absolute stinker to start the year, finds his way down into Columbus, and now you're not just looking for, hey, what do we have for a future at second base? It's also, oh yeah, in combination with that, I need a future for shortstop too. In a lot of cases, the way that the Guardians handle these two positions, they're almost interchangeable. You go and you look at guys that can play either spot. Now, Bezanin's not playing shortstop. That's not his position. He's going to play second base. Second base is his. Let's make that very clear. Probably coming up, not at any point this year, but next year, I'm sure he'll take the step in and find his way onto the Guardians. But this now allows you to sort of open up and go, hey, Gabriel Arias is playing pretty well. Daniel Schneeman's handled it pretty well this year. At some point, we might see Juan Brito this year. I mean, heck, if you want to throw Angel Martinez back in the mix in the middle infield, I don't think they do, but if you did, you now have nothing but time to figure it out. And I know coming off of an ALCS loss, a lot of us don't want to sit here and talk about this overarching idea that the Guardians are trying to figure out positions and instead want that solidified and able to, you know, rack up wins and hopefully win a division. But, guys, it's the Guardians. They're somehow finding a way to rebuild and compete all in the same time, year after year. It just doesn't change. You get an off year where, they're bad this year. An off year where, they're just flat out good this year. And it feels like they do have a lot of the positions figured out. But it's usually a year at a time. Usually don't get multiple years of that happening. This year's no different. So, okay, we got to figure out the middle infield. You've had guys that have produced, and you had guys who haven't. But this allows you to really go through and play out a lot of those positions and a lot of those position battles. All right, even if Bezanin's here, well, we're going to have a starting shortstop and we're going to have somebody else that can play the middle infield. I need as many of those guys that I can get. So I need to find not only an everyday shortstop for this year, but also find somebody who's probably playing close to every day or you know, at least mixing in. Even if Bezanin takes over, it won't be out of training camp. He's still probably going to have to spring training. He's going to have to get through playing some time in Columbus and then probably work his way up to the majors. So, okay, I need somebody that can hold down the fort there and somebody that's also going to be able to produce in these short time periods. So, all right. This season, the Guardians will be as competitive as they can be. Anybody think the Guardians are winning a World Series? I would have told you no before the season started. I continue to tell you no right now. Whatever. You go out, you give your best effort, you be competitive. Baseball is one of the odd sports where it feels like you can just walk into the playoffs and shock the world. So if you get there, you get a, you legitimately have a chance. But it is everything about finding out, can I trust Gabriel Arias? Is he going to be a solution? Can I play him at shortstop when we have everything figured out? And that's the part where this is actually turning out to be good. Because it's not just going to be plug Arias in, everything works. Plug Schneeman in, everything works. It's going to be a rotation of three, four guys of trying to figure out who's going to actually show up and produce and who can I trust going into next year to put on this roster, put on the team, and move forward. You want to put Travis Bazan into the best possible position, a position where he's actually winning, and then sort of relay that into, okay, now hopefully he produces well, and we're just all working in unison and thriving in unison. Putting Travis Bazan on a, I don't want to call them a bad Guardians team this year because I truthfully don't believe that they are, but a worse version of the Guardians, one that don't have real World Series aspirations, then there's no real point to put him on. Or even playoff aspirations or deep playoff run aspirations. There's just no reason to put him into a spot where if the Guardians aren't thriving. You want to maximize that. This gives you the opportunity to maximize it. Actually finding out what you have in some of these positions, finding out what you have in some of these guys, and almost being able to reset the minor league system. How many years have we talked about over and over again? Well, it just feels like the Guardians have nine middle infield minor league prospects, and it's just an absolute logjam. Well, this is your inadvertent way of clearing the logjam. Being like, okay, Rocchio, bad pile. Arias, good pile. And just sort him out and be like, all right, well, I got a couple of guys I can trust. As long as I can rely on them to be in the major leagues, okay, I can rely on them to essentially be in the majors and bank on that happening. All the other guys are going to be minor league players, or I'm going to try to move off them, DFA, trade, work them in wherever I have to. But I know some of those guys I can count on. And now, again, the logjam sort of cycles. We start to clear some of this. And it's, all right, now we can go back to drafting some middle infielders. We can go back to actually getting more of these guys in the room and filling out the minors and, you know, getting a better cycle for, oh, if Bazan is not going to be here, middle infielder's contract's going to come up. All right, now I have more guys beneath them. Because right now, relatively, if we're talking Guardians prospects, which I'm not going to spend a whole time doing, like, it's not great. Not great in the minors. So hey, take what you can learn at the major league level this year. Learn from those guys that are there. And I think sort of just get ready for next year when it comes to that position. Make the most of what it is, but don't keep it going. Another conversation around the major league club here as well. Carlos Santana has been disappointing as the months have been cold. Now, not completely out of the realm of what we sort of expect from him. It's pretty typical. But Jim Bowden of The Athletic and CBS Sports on with Nick and Spencer today on Afternoon Drive. And they sort of tossed out the question, when is enough enough with Carlos Santana? And when do you decide then to move on to a younger guy? And Jim gave his response.
And, you know, a roster is only as good as your 26th man. You know, Santana, it's a tough call. You tend to give the veteran a little bit more rope than you do other guys for that reason. You have to measure what he means in the clubhouse, but you also can't be afraid to move on.
And I think that's a big sort of battle back and forth right now. If you're looking at Los and saying, all right, well, he's not providing him much on the field right now. He's hitting 231. He had a good day today. It was a really good day today. I mean, he took a couple of balls out of the yard, and you feel good about that. But ultimately, the year has been slow. You're hitting like 230. You're obviously in a roundabout way roadblocking Kyle Manzardo, even though he's getting pretty much every day at bats at DH. You're eventually going to want that guy probably to be your first baseman and help him step into that spot. And you got guys below him performing as well. I see Jakafis is somebody who's sitting right there ready to go. So, all right. And Jim laid out a really good example of, like, he provides a lot in the clubhouse. I'm sure there's a reason that clearly the Guardians continue time after time to bring back Carlos Santana. But sort of when is enough enough? And I think you're getting very close to that point where if things don't go on the upswing the way that they did in the last couple of days, they don't continue on that track, you're not far off of giving somebody else a little bit of a run. You're 39 years old. You're a good defender. But yeah, there's going to be guys. There's veterans in this locker room and in the clubhouse that can actually go out and help you and give you that same level of experience that's needed. But you also have to prioritize when guys are ready, not creating a block for them to actually make it to the majors. Chris Antonetti talked about that in the offseason. They don't want to roadblock any of the guys that they have a lot of hope for coming up. Okay, the way that you do that is filling your roster out with players who are older and then keeping them around for too long after they perform. The one thing that stuck with me from Jim Bowden's interview was a quote that he laid out that was, after 2 months, you know who you are for the season, and then it's 2 months of trying to fix that. Well, we're about 2 months into knowing who Carlos Santana is. It's whether or not you give him the luxury to adjust and fix the problems, or whether or not you make the call and get this team even younger. 216-474-0092. Could it be a good thing for the Guardians and trying to clear the middle infield logjam that Travis Bazzano won't be called up this year as well? When is enough on Carlos Santana? We'll take any of your calls on that at 216-474-0092 as well in 5 minutes. Get a grip. Right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.